In my life, I've owned three dogs. My first dog was a dog named Penny. My dog that I currently own is, his name's Otis. And our second dog was Casey. Casey was the shortest of all the dogs that I own. Not in shortest in size, but the shortest in length that we owned him. And the reason for that is that we were going to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house one day, and Ainsley had talked to me just impulsively at times about getting a dog, and it was something that I kept shutting down. And as we were going to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house, she thought it would be good for us to go to the pet store. I wasn't really excited about that, but I thought, what harm can come our way? We went into the pet store, and it was incredible how Ainsley's GPS was wired to the very section that she needed to go. We found ourselves at the back of the store where the dogs were. And should I say, not dogs, but puppies. And there in the display of all these puppies was this little beagle terrier, husky? What was it? Husky, but there was a beagle, right? Story's so much worse than I remember it. A beagle husky. Wow, what were we thinking? Beagle husky, and so it was so cute, the things in the window, and it started to communicate to us, not in words or sounds, but in its look. It had those sad puppy eyes, and it began to communicate, "You need to take me home. You're my only hope. Please, I need you more than you need me." And I saw this puppy, and Ainsley was looking at the puppy, and my kids were looking at the puppy, and their eyes turned to me, and their eyes were worse than the puppy's eyes, drawing me in, and I felt overwhelmed by what was happening. I was in this moment, and we had no plan, we had no strategy for a dog life, and yet in that moment of impulse from the message that was being communicated from this dog's eyes and from Ainsley and my three kids' eyes, we purchased a puppy that day. Well, friends, the first little while was fine, but I want to give you a piece of information that everybody in this place needs to understand. Every puppy turns into a dog. Those cute little eyes turn into dog eyes, and their little puppy behavior turns into dog behavior. And so my beagle husky, I can't believe we bought that thing. My beagle husky began to act like a beagle husky. That thing did not understand what the definition of food was. Food was the stuff we bought for it to consume at the store. There were other things in our house that did not have the food definition label attached to it. But our dog, Casey, began to eat things in our house, clothing items, all kinds of objects. I can't even remember. I had to go to counseling for this, and so most of it's been wiped from my mind. But all kinds of things. And then this dog started to sneak off. By itself, the door would slightly be open, and this thing would go hunting. That's the beagle part of it. It would go flying out the door and begin to run through our neighborhood. Our dog, Casey, knew more of our neighborhood than I ever did after living there for 8 years. It ran and it ran and it ran, and we would chase it, but that thing was fast. And it was driving me nuts because every time we would try to sneak out the door, and it would be right there at the door, and it somehow would cut through my legs or get out of the house in some crazy way. And then this thing would bark like crazy. So much so that one day the bylaw officer showed up at our house. Now, we were pretty sure that it wasn't Casey that was barking. There were other dogs in our neighborhood, but we got the blame because our dog was the one that was escaping. And in this season where the dog is eating stuff, where it's escaping, and the bylaw officer is threatening to fine us the next time the bylaw officer gets a complaint, I began to think through what we had done. I began to think about the impulsive moment of responding to a message from the dog's face. Take me home. The impulsiveness of a decision and the long-term sustainability of owning this dog. The long-term sustainability. We actually didn't have that dog for much more than a year, and we gave it away to our friends and made sure that there was a clause in our contract that dog could never come back to our house. The impulse decision versus long-term sustainability. When the difficult situations start to occur, you begin to wonder if your impulse decision really can be committed to long-term. That's what Jesus was saying when he began, when he was talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. He's sitting in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and he sees quite a large crowd. That's why he has to be in the boat. These individuals had witnessed his miracles. They had heard his message. They had been in the environment where everything was so positive, where everything was so exciting. I mean, it was like good church service. Like, I mean, just an exciting church service, full of just life, just full of life. And they were, as they see this man named Jesus, in the impulse of the moment, they say, we're gonna serve him. We're gonna commit our lives to him. We're gonna follow him. We're gonna respond to that message by following him. Impulsive decision. Jesus is looking out at a crowd that is impulsive. They receive the word really quickly. A little bit of fruit springing up. And Jesus says, knows in his mind that the truth is that for most of these people, their impulsive commitment didn't have sustainability, because tough times would come, and that seed that had been planted had sprung up quickly, but could it last through the hardships the church would face? Through the hardships. Look at what the scripture says. If you just look up at the screen just for a moment. Jesus says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path. Then the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And so in the 10 minutes we have remaining, here's the deal. Jesus was recognizing, was pointing out the fact that there was going to be some seed that would land and grow very quickly. The impulse seed. And you would look and you'd see this little leaf, this little bit of growth that would come out of the dirt. And that there was fruit right away. It would be the fastest fruit that you would see. And you think, oh my goodness, look at the response. Look at the response to the seed being sown there. Jesus says that what would happen is that quick growth would actually die away once the sun came, because here's what would happen. If you were to push the dirt away, you would see limestone underneath the dirt. You probably are picturing, when Jesus talks about rocky soil, you're probably picturing a bunch of rocks within your garden, but that wasn't the condition of Israel. There would be parts of the land that were full of limestone, these big pieces of limestone, and there would be dirt over it so that you couldn't tell the difference between the good soil area and the limestone area, just a thin layer of dirt. And when the seed would land on that dirt, that area had the conditions, the perfect conditions for immediate growth. There was just enough dirt to sustain it. For a short period of time, there was enough water that had pooled on that rock that they'd get some nutrients. The warmth of the soil being on the top would give it all that it needed for immediate growth. But as time would go on, that plant would start to push out roots, looking for more nutrients, looking for more water, looking for the things that would actually keep it sustainable in its growth. And as the roots would try to go down, it would hit this resistance, which would be the limestone. And the roots could never go down, and so it wouldn't get the water it needed for the hot days, and it wouldn't get the nutrients it needed for the growth. For the growth. And eventually that plant would wither away. And Jesus says, some of us, that's the kind of soil we have. The seed sown on a Sunday, or as you're reading your word, or as you're listening to a podcast, or whatever the means is, as the message is communicated, as the word goes out, the conditions of the moment are so good, it's impulsive response. I grab hold of that, especially on a Sunday when everybody else is grabbing hold of it. And we have all the right conditions, and we respond to the word, but what happens is there's no depth. We don't see any roots go down, and so as difficult times come along in life, because friends, that's just the reality of life, that there are difficulties, that we don't have the deep roots to get us the nutrients that we need to keep growing, And we don't have the sustainable growth. Now, I've been wrestling with this passage all week long, trying to figure out what Jesus is trying to say. And at first, I thought the direction I was going to take our congregation in this morning was going to talk about how that we need to get deep into the Word. I thought, man, Jesus is saying we need to get deep into the Word. But the truth is that Jesus doesn't talk about getting deep into the seed. He talks about the seed getting deep into us. This is what this part of the parable is about. It's not about us getting deep into the Word of God, but God's Word getting deep into our lives. Not just sitting at the surface level, not just getting a little bit of roots, not just getting enough for the moment, the impulsiveness, but going deep into us so that when difficult times come, we're able to keep going. And so I want to talk to you really quickly about three really practical things that you need to do to get the Word deep into you. And friends, these seem so simple. I mean, they seem so simple that man, you don't need a pastor who's been pastoring for over 20 years to tell you this. But the truth is, as I thought about these simple truths, I wondered how many times I grabbed hold of them and how many times we as a congregation grab hold of them. So here they are. How do we get the Word deep into us? We need to, first of all, think about the message. Talk's the second one. Think about the message. We've got to think about the message. You see, change within our lives will only come once there's change in our thinking. This is the truth. You will never change your behavior unless you change your thinking. And once your thinking is changed, then your behavior will change. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of your mind. You see, the behaviors that the Word of God are supposed to produce within our lives, that produce long-term sustainable growth, only come as our mind grabs hold of the message. Grab hold of the message. There are times that we hear the message and we think about it for the moment, and then it never goes back into our mind after we leave the building, right? I mean, there's times where I'm preaching and I'm like, I got the Word in me, and then you go home and I'm thinking about next week, I'm thinking about everything else, and I don't think about the message. I'm thinking about what I got to do tomorrow. I'm thinking about what I've got to do at home. I'm thinking about so many other things, and what happens is the Word doesn't get into me because I fail to think about it. Isa and I were at a conference a couple weeks ago, and we heard Andy Stanley speak this message, and he started telling us that he had sat down twice in his life with Bill Hybels. And the first time he sat down, he had a number of questions on his phone, and he wanted to ask Bill some key questions that Bill could answer to him. And so he started off, and he said, "Hey, Bill, just want to know, when you're dealing with a difficult situation, what's the process that you use to make the difficult decisions in your ministry?" And Bill looked at him and said, "It's so simple, Andy. I simply ask myself, what would a great leader do? What would a great leader do?" Well, friends, I've studied leadership for years. It's my favorite topic outside the gospel. And this statement, what would a great leader do, it hit me so hard. And Andy began to break it down and talk about great leadership. He talked about David going after Saul, the opportunity to take Saul's life. And he has to ask himself, what would a great leader do? And as he's preaching, all I can keep hearing is, what would a great leader do? What would a great leader do? What would a great leader do? I just kept hearing it. I just kept thinking about it, kept thinking about it, kept thinking about it. We finished the session, and I talked to Ainsley as we were heading out to the car, and I was like, man, that statement just is so profound. Got into the car, kept thinking about it. We're talking, and I'm engaged in conversation. I don't want her to think I wasn't paying attention. I was engaged in conversation, but it just kept going through my mind. What would a great leader do? What would a great leader do? We went across the street to get some lunch. I'm sitting at the table and we're conversing and I'm thinking, what would a great leader do? What would a great leader do? Go get some Starbucks because you know that's got to be part of my life. And so at Starbucks, and I'm thinking, what would a great leader do? Friends, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Kept meditating on it. Kept dwelling upon it. When we left Atlanta and we came home, I just kept thinking about it over and over and over and over and over again. So much so that it got so deep inside of me that some of the decisions that we've had to make, some of the challenges I've had to face over the last couple weeks, I've actually, when I got to the moment where I had to decide how we were going to go in a certain direction, I immediately would go, well, what would a great leader do? Because the message got into my heart. And I want to tell you that if you're going to grow in God, you can't just hear the message on a Sunday. You've got to think about it over and over and over and over and over and over again. You've got to meditate on it. I love this. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then I love this last part. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. You want to see the sustainable growth in the midst of difficult situations? Get the word into you. Get it deep into you. There are times even when you're reading your Bible, I don't know about you, but there are times I read my Bible and I've done the deed, finished, move on for the rest of the day, but it's not in me. I read it and forget about it. And what Jesus is saying for the word to get deep into us is we've got to think about it, meditate on it, get it into our minds so that transformed behavior will be after the message. Think about the word. Secondly, not only should we think about the message, we need to talk about the message. There are all kinds of things that church people talk about after Sunday. I might be one of them. I don't know. Programs, music, what someone was wearing, conversation that you had. And it's easy for us to in the atmosphere, respond to the word and then go out of this place, find ourselves sitting with our family or our friends and allow our conversation to go in all different directions, but not on the message. That's the truth. We don't spend tons of time, maybe I'm wrong, maybe everybody's talking, but maybe you guys all just leave here and just go, hey, it's time to eat, and then we're going to sit down and talk about what God spoke to us out of Pastor Jeff's message. I hope that's the case, but I doubt it. To sit down and to begin to talk about it. I'm an avid reader, and over the years I've noticed some things. If I read through a book, I'll remember some stuff. Most times I don't read through a book. I'll read through a book with a highlighter and a pen in my hand. I'm highlighting key things that I can go back to. I'm writing things in the margin. My mind works in a certain way. I don't have a photographic memory, but I do remember where certain things were in the books. I can see them on pages, and I have an idea of where things are, so that helps me remember. But I've noticed something, that if I start to talk to people about what I'm learning, if I start to communicate, hey, Nick, I want to tell you, I'm reading this thing, it's so good, I want to share this with you. And then I finish the conversation with him, and I'll go over to Pastor Steve and say, hey, Pastor Steve, I just want to tell you something I'm reading right now. It's so good. And then I turn to somebody in the church, I go, hey, Kurt, I want to tell you something that I've been reading this week, this great leadership principle. And I begin to share it. The more I talk about it, the more it gets into me. And friends, I want to tell you that one of the keys to getting the Word of God into you is to talk about it with people. I'm being really transparent here. The truth is that the majority of messages that we've heard over our years, we don't remember because we don't take time to think about it and to talk about it. They just simply land on our soil and then go somewhere else. Quick growth, and then it dies. But the more we talk about it, the more we share about what we've just heard, the more it gets into us. A few years ago, I was running our leadership conference for the Next Gen. And this one speaker I had to speak on postmodern evangelism. I was waiting for him, and he wasn't showing up. And I thought, okay, I know this guy. He's always late for everything. He'll be here. But now it was time for the session, and he hadn't arrived. And so I quickly called him, and I said, hey, where are you? Oh, man, I forgot. Like, completely forgot. He's all prepared for the session. And so I'm thinking to myself, that's fine. I'll go upstairs, and hopefully there's like two or three people there, and we'll just move them to another seminar. I go up into the room, and the room is full of people. I was like, oh man, this is not a good situation. And so I went to the little music stand. I said, hey, I just need everybody's attention. My speaker for this seminar on evangelism to postmoderns, he's forgotten about it, and so he's not here. So you got two options. The first one's the really good option. You could go and find another seminar in this building. So that's option one. The second one's not a great option, but it is an option. You could stay here, and I could talk to you about evangelism to postmoderns. For a seminar that I haven't prepared, I have no notes, but I think I could talk to you about it. And would you believe that everybody stayed in the room? I mean, I don't know what was wrong with them. I don't know if we just had bad seminars everywhere else. And so I was like, all right. And friends, for the next 45 minutes, I began to teach about evangelism to postmoderns. And I gave details, eloquent elements. I just dispensed all this information and engaged in conversation. Someone came to me afterwards and they said, "Jeff, we just need to talk to you. We were just listening to a few people after the seminar, and they were actually shocked with your seminar." I said, what did I say? No, it's not what you said. They couldn't believe that you did a whole seminar without notes, without preparing, and you were able to give out information that was so good. And he said, "I simply said to them, Jeff has got this stuff so into him that he's able to communicate it out to people. And the reason that this crowd would never have known is I didn't just read about it. I was, every time I sat down with a leader, I was talking about these issues. Every time I got together with a senior pastor, I was talking about these issues. The more I talked about it, the more it got deep inside of me, so that when I got to the music stand, I could simply let out what was already inside of me." God is saying to you that you've got to communicate about the Word of God wherever you go, that you would hear a message and you would talk about it with your family. You would talk about it with your friends. You want to see sustainable growth? Think about the message. Get it into your heart. Talk about the message and let it go deeper. Think about it. Talk about it. And lastly, practice the message. Practice the message. When I was a kid, I didn't know how to tie my shoes. I know that shocks you. But there was a long season of my life where I had no idea how to tie my shoes. I felt that my purpose in life, the call on my life, was the Velcro Ministries. That I would simply Velcro the straps on my shoes. But my parents were not going to have that. They didn't want to have a Velcro kid. They wanted a shoe tying kid. So one day, my mom and dad, they sat me down and they began to communicate to me about how one ties one's shoes. And so they told me, and I just looked at them with a blank look on my face. Then they showed me, and I thought, that's pretty cool. Mom and Dad, you do that really well. Here's mine. And they said this, "Now you try it." Oh, man. So this little small Jeff Hillier got down and began to tie the worst knot. I mean, laces flopping all over the place. My parents said to me, "Okay, let me tell you again. This is how you do it. Watch. Try again." I tried again. Still no success. And the same thing happened again. And we tried it again. Kept trying again. Kept trying again. Kept trying again. Until I finally got a knot that was somewhat okay. My parents said, "You just need to keep trying, Jeff. Just keep practicing it. You're going to get a hold of it." I tied my shoes this morning, no problems. I know that you're not going to applaud for that. But the only reason why I could is because I had to keep practicing something that was instructed to me years ago. It had to get deep inside of me. I'll be honest, I didn't think about how to tie my shoes this morning. It's just rote. It just happens because I've done it so many times. And what Jesus is saying about the Word getting deep in you is that if you would practice the Word, not just hear it, not just talk about it, but do it. And you may not do it well. You may do it with flimsy shoelaces the first time. But keep trying. And you do it again. You keep trying. And you do it again and you keep trying. Speak on evangelism and you go, "Oh, that's a great message." But then you go out and never try it. All you have is Velcro moments. But you try it once and it doesn't go that great. Okay, I'm done. No, try it again. And try it again. And try it again so that the Word about evangelism gets so deep in your heart. A few years ago, I preached on worship. And I know I don't know all the facts of this of what happened afterwards, but on that Sunday, some of you will remember I did a whole series on worship, and I preached this message, and I talked about the seven Hebrew words that are used for praise. I talked about the Shabak, the shout. I talked about the Tehillah, the foolish response to God, and the Barak, the kneeling down. I talked about the Todo, where one moves one's head down. I talked about all the different Hebrew words, and at the end of the service, I think that was the one message, and the next message I preached on David and him dancing in his underwear. At the end of that message, I said, let's respond to Jesus, respond to the King in a way that's appropriate. And some of you, how many remember that service? There's about five of us, okay. I've never, ever been part of a worship service here that was so dynamic. In fact, I had people who had been at this church for quite a number of years say to me, we've never seen anything like this in this church in all our years. The place exploded in worship. The message hit the soil, and immediately there was fruit there. It was incredible, and I mean, there was dynamic praise in this place because that was the response to the message. And I was so encouraged. And then the next Sunday, I came back expecting that we would have a great moment of worship, and it was not the same. And maybe there's all kinds of dynamics. Maybe everybody just had a really tough week. But I started to think this week, what would have happened if everybody who had been part of the previous week's message had said, I'm going to practice this again next Sunday. Because what Pastor Jeff preached last week is truth. It's from the Word of God. And I'm going to come in next Sunday, and I'm going to practice it even if nobody else does. I'm going to respond to the King of Kings because he deserves my praise. I'm going to respond and worship in a way that pushes me beyond myself. What happens if we had responded? And what happens if 2 weeks later we said, you know what, I don't have this down yet. I'm going to keep practicing this. I'm going to keep practicing this. And what if every person in this place for week after week after week kept going back to the message and said, I'm going to keep practicing it till this is part of my life? You see, friends, it's not just about hearing it. It's not just about responding to the moment at hand. It's about continuing to get that word so deep in your life that it's part of who you are. Part of who you are. And I'm concerned for me, and I'm concerned for us, that there are times that we respond in the impulsive moment because the atmosphere is okay, the atmosphere is great, but the word doesn't get deep in us, and so the growth only lasts for a short season. Listen, look at what the scriptures say. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. I love this. This is that Sunday. We look into it. We respond, hey, David, dance before the presence of God. We just need to forget about our own reputation and focus on his reputation, this great response, and then we walk out of the place. What was that message about again? I forget. But if I think about it, if I talk about it, if I choose to keep practicing it, the word gets deep into my life. And friends, I'm not looking for you to receive my message today. I'm looking for my message to go deep inside of you. I'm not looking for just the moments where there's great fruit in the moment because the atmosphere is right and the impulsiveness is there. And I don't even mean that as negatively as it sounds because I love the corporate gathering, but I'm not looking for just little growth moments. I want God's word to go deep into your life because when it goes deep, that's when we can handle the storms. Jess, would you just come back to the keyboard? Friends, I think about what Jesus said. He said that when the roots don't go deep, that what happens is the sun comes and begins to scorch that plant. And because there's no water there, because the roots can't get deep, that the seed hasn't gone down, that when the heat comes on, then that plant withers up and dies. Something that once had growth. Not sustainable, but for the moment. And I think about what I've just talked about this morning, that in the difficult times, if we are thinking and meditating on the Word of God, in the midst of the difficult, scorching times, in the moments of a week like this week, that God's Word just kind of comes up through the roots into my life. It comes up. Oh, God's Word has encouraged me so much this week because it's deep inside of me. I keep thinking about it. I keep meditating on it. I keep speaking it in my mind. Because I think upon it, I'm able to face the trials. I think about the talking part, that there are moments that I've talked about the word that's been preached in some setting I've been part of. And when the trying times come, all I do is I speak out what's already been spoken in my life over a number of weeks. I speak truth to the situation. Speak it up because the word gets deep in me. And here's the last part. When the difficult times come, I'm not caught off guard because I've actually been practicing for those moments. And when the enemy throws something, I mean, I've been practicing the word in my life, and I'm ready for the hits that are coming because I've trained my life in such a way that I'm constantly practicing God's word. So the enemy can throw stuff, but I'm going to keep living it out because it's not on the surface. It's deep inside of Jeff Hillier. It needs to be deep inside of you. Friends, don't let the word sit on top of your soil. Get the seed deep inside of you. Not profound, but if it lived out, it will cause a profound lifestyle to come into your life. These messages are so practical. And I don't look for your response to happen here. I'm looking for your response to happen out of here. That you would think about what was said. That you would talk about it with your friends and your family. And then you'd try to practice it every week, every Sunday, so that depth happens. Sustainable growth, not just for the moment, but for the long run. Perhaps you're in here today, and in all that's been said, you just know that Jesus is here. You just know His presence is here. And you walked into this place, and you got hit with the presence of God, which doesn't surprise me because that's what our team was praying about before we even walked into this service. And you say, I'm away from Jesus. I don't have a relationship with Him. But Pastor, I want to give my life to Him today. If that's you, would you just raise your hand in this place? No one's looking, just you and me. Say, Pastor, I just want to give my life to Jesus today. One last chance. Spirit of God speaking to you. I want to give my life to Him, either for the first time or recommit my life to Him. Congregation, I'm asking that you would allow God's word to get deep inside of you. We want to grow. We want to do great things for God. But we need His word inside of us because there will be difficult moments. But when difficult moments come, and the word is deep inside our life, the roots go so far down that the nutrients that we need are there. Everything that we need is there. Think about the word. Talk about the word. And let it be practiced out in our life this week. And so, Jesus, I thank you for this congregation. I'm so grateful to be able to be part of a family like this. I pray that this week they would think about this message. They talk about it with people. They'd begin to live it out. Every week, let that be the case. It's not just about worship. It's about evangelism. It's about holiness. It's about the way we interact with one another. It's about the whole gospel message, that would be part of our life because we keep practicing it. I pray that, God, you would help us with everything that we need for this week. I pray that your spirit would be on this congregation. You would use us and help us to make an impact. And those who are going through storms, those who are feeling the scorching heat of the enemy, I pray that we would rely on the nutrients that come from the Holy Spirit and from your word. Be with our congregation this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, everyone.